There's a famous quote from Shakespeare that we probably have heard at some point in our lives, and it goes like this. It says, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." And, of course, that was his speciality, reading plays, and you know, that was one of the lines in one of them. But I was reminded of this quote as I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. And you read about the stories and accomplishments of these great men and women of faith. And Hebrews calls them our great cloud of witnesses, that they are there, like they've done their bit, and now they're there watching us. And just thinking back to Shakespeare's words, that all the world's a stage. But, you know, really we can understand from Scripture that all of human history has been a stage, that some have played their parts in, and some have played them very well. But you get the sense that we, you know, as men and women, we are players on that stage. We have our part to play that God is calling us to. And in Hebrews 11, there were great feats of obedience, displays of power, you know, where they just followed the Lamb and God used them in some way. But, you know, none of them saw the end. None of them, you know, saw the promise that they were looking for fulfilled, because the play is still going on, right? It's still an ongoing drama that we're involved in. And, or another way that it's shown is, as it says in Hebrews, that we're all in a race. We're all running that race. And some in the past, they've run it very well. And here we are. But the key in understanding all of this, and the point I want to make, is that each of us has a part to play in this great saga of human history, and, you know, the fight that we're fighting, and all of the different allegories and ways that we can look at this, as Paul brings out, you know. But really, it's the fact that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is given a place in this drama, a place in this race. The question is, how will we perform? What will we fulfill and respond to our role that God's given us? And so I want to look with you at Hebrews, and, you know, the writer of Hebrews tells us how we should view our role in this play, or as he brings out, in this race. And let's look together in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. I realize as I look through my message, I hardly have any scriptures, but that makes it a little simple. We're just going to talk about this main topic here. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So here we all are in that race. And as it goes, we are to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who also ran the race and crossed the finish line at the cross, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. And it's like he's giving us that example, and all those, that great cloud of witnesses are giving that example that we can follow as we're running our race here in life. And so it's clear that we're here, you know, as we're living on earth, it's not to be a life that's lived unto ourselves. Right? It's not to be a life that's lived for our own pleasure or our own purposes, but that each of us has a purpose and a part to play. And so the key is in living so that we fulfill that role and that part, that place in the drama of human history, the drama of God's plan and purpose for his church. Now, one of the first things that's brought out here in this verse, and it's really one of the reasons why we should run, or one of the encouragements we can have as we consider the race, is this great cloud of witnesses. You know, it brings us back to that thought of history being played out on the stage of the race. You know, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, they're surrounding us. That gives a little different picture. You think of, you know, I know they're all up in heaven, right? And they're enjoying, they're in glory, and they don't know the sorrow and sadness anymore. But it says they are surrounding us. They are there as our reminder. They're there encouraging us. you know, in that sense of they're cheering us on, they're wishing for us to do well. You know, they, and that's a part of our motivation, right? They are those who have gone on before us, as we can read in chapter 11, you know, like Abel and Noah, Abraham and Moses and Sarah and Rahab and David and all the prophets and all those that we can read in this those chapters, is that they've run their race. And it, and I love how Hebrews 11 says, brings it out, says they ran the race, you know, or they did what they did so that they may obtain a better resurrection. That they could obtain something better than just the average, right? So that they could do well in their race, so that they could fulfill the purpose that they were put on earth for. And so we read this and we think, sometimes we can think, well, they were the heroes, right? They were like the big guys, the big guns that Jesus brought out or that the Lord brought out. You know, they were the great ones in Scripture. But, you know, really the emphasis here in Hebrews is that the race is not over. Sometimes we read that and say, well, that's the Bible. It's done. You're not going to add a word to that, right? It's all finished. But in reality, right, the story is still playing out and we're a part of it. That's what we want to remind ourselves. The race has yet to be finished. And, you know, you read this chapter and you see that the race is kind of like, you know, the baton is being passed to each generation that succeeds the next. And what is really amazing is that we are a part of the last generation, right? I mean, as we understand from Scripture that we are a part of that last generation, that we're waiting for the return of Christ. And so we have the baton and we can't drop it. We have to carry it to the end. So there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. You know, it's as if they were kind of surrounding us in heaven saying, you know, run your race, because all of heaven is watching you and cheering you on and hoping, you know, because if we win, they win. Right? That's the picture, right? If we lose, then that affects them as well. In fact, it says back in Hebrews 11 and verse 40, you know, the Scripture confirms this. Hebrews 11:40 says, God provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There, you could say, perfection, their completeness, is not complete without us. Without us in the church doing our part in running our race. You know, and I think that these heroes of faith that we read and admire, their race cannot be completed in that sense without us. Without this generation doing their part in the race. And I think that really is a significant, that picture of that, you know, of all the races you can watch in the Olympics, it's that running of the baton, right? And it's not just one person. There's not some star runner that gets all the glory. It's a team, right? Each one has to run and run well, and then hand the baton off and not drop it. And his teammate has to pick that up and then run with all his might and then give it to the next one. You know, and so we read it through Scripture, and the baton has been passed from generation to generation. And we read about the parts that they played, and they did well. But the significance of this race is that, you know, the baton has to keep going, and it's passed to us. And in fact, they talk about in the baton race, it's the anchor leg that matters the most, because it's the last leg. If they're behind, that person at the end has to make up for it. So usually it's their fastest runner that they place in the anchor leg. Well, that's where we are. God's calling us to be the anchor leg and to run the fastest at the end of the race, because we've been handed the baton. And so God is looking for those who will run the hardest in these last days. He's looking to us, you know? He's looking to raise up Elijahs and Elishas and John the Baptists that can prepare the way and prepare his church for him to come again, to be a part of his glorious bride. And so each of us has a part in doing that as we walk with God, as we keep our testimony pure and upright, right? Our lives can be a testimony of following the Lamb wherever he leads us. Now, in recognizing that there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on and we're running our race, Hebrews tells us that there's something we have to be aware of. There's something specific that will keep us from running well and from running our race. And this is back in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. It says, "Let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." And so there's a recognition here that there are things in life that will try to attach themselves to us, and they will slow us down. Of course the enemy wants to get us totally off and disqualified from the race. That's his main purpose. But you know, he realizes that he's not going to do that for a lot of people. He's not going to get us totally disqualified. If he can't do that, the next best thing is weigh us down. Start to put some weights on us. Slip some things in our pockets that start to weigh us down, and you know, we start to get tired, because then we can't run very well. And you know, that phrase, the good old King James, beset, we're beset with many sins, it doesn't have a lot of meaning for us today because we don't use that. But you know, some other translations say to ensnare, to entangle, to cling to. That gives us some a little more understanding and some context that these weights of sin are things that just stick to us, and we walk with them and we don't even know. You know, one of the things that, I don't know if you have it in your lawn, but in my lawn and my neighbor's lawn, when I walk through it and I come out, I look down and I've got all these little stickers stuck to me because I've got these plants in my yard that they release these seed pods, and the seed pods they're worse than Velcro. I don't know if you've ever done that. You walk through it and it's like, oh my, look at, they're all over my shoes. One day I spent about 15 minutes plucking those things off my shoes. They were just covered. And you know, that's kind of that idea, is that these sins, these things, they stick to us. They beset us. They're just set there kind of in our pathway, and the enemy's hoping, well, I'll set that thing there and maybe he'll pick it up. And he'll have to walk with that. And you know, sometimes it's kind of like those plants. You don't even know they're there until you look down, and you know, you feel the effect more than you even notice that it's happened. And of course, we're talking about the spiritual, so you know, we don't see that. We just feel the effect of those things. So we can walk through life, and sometimes you know, we can pick up things. We can pick up cares and worries and fears or desires, and so they've just attached themselves to us. And just the fact of going through life, we are going to pick up these things. I think that's kind of the certainty. It's not like those who are more spiritual don't pick them up. You know, it's the fact that those who are more spiritual know how to remove them, know how to deal with them and get them removed, I should say. It's not that we have the power to do something, but we know someone who does. And so we develop those things. And especially, you know, it's hard to know when that weight has been added in the spiritual life. All you can really discern is that, man, I'm starting to feel a little different, right? Something is affecting me. You know, that's upsetting me a little bit more than it used to, right? Or I used to have more strength to overcome in this area. What's going on? Is there a weight? Is there something that's holding me down? Is there something that's a burden? You know, perhaps it's a weight of grief or anxiety or concern. You know, it's a burden on your spirit that makes it difficult to face the fight. But God wants to set us free to run. Maybe it's just something that's slowing us down, like sapping our energy so that we can't run as fast as we need to. You know, sometimes there's a lot of things that are not bad in our lives, but we can get caught up in them and they just sap our strength. And I've experienced that many times where the Lord says, don't get caught up in that. Just run your race. You know, let that go. And I've come to the place where I realize that if you know, I have to focus on what really matters in life, or I won't be able to run my race. You know, anything that will slow us down must be removed, must be dealt with. And those things are spiritual, you know, and they have to be dealt with in the spiritual realm. There's nothing we can do to get rid of them. There's nothing we can do. Well, we can try, but, you know, usually it comes to nothing. We can't cut that spiritual cord with anything we possess. There's no natural thing that we can do to cut a spiritual cord or connection. But yet we serve the one who's the great physician. I'm glad that he's called that name. He's not just the great sword bearer, right? He doesn't just have his flaming sword that he's going to come and slice us with. You know, that's the worst case scenario, right? That's what happens when we ignore the great physician. Then he comes with his big sword of circumcision and says, okay, I'm going to have to do some chopping. But instead he wants to come as the great physician. And he's very gentle. He's very precise. And he can remove that thing and we can walk out. You know, kind of like there's modern day surgeries now where you can have something that used to be major, right? They just make a small incision these days and you're out almost the same day of the hospital. You know, I think that's how the Lord can operate in us if we'll allow him to. You know, Lord, there's this weight that's carrying me down. Lord, would you operate? Take this thing out of my heart. And he will come and do that if we ask him. I want to consider one last thought in this passage. You know, back in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here's a way that we're supposed to run. You know, we can't just run any way that we want to. In fact, that's what really sets apart those who are runners from those who are good runners. Even fast runners from the best, the elite runners, is how they run. They pay a lot of attention to their technique and how they're running, right? Their pace that they're running, their cadence that they're running. You know, they take a lot of time to train in that way, not just to their endurance or their strength for how fast they can run, but training to run. And so Hebrews is saying, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have to run with patience. In the Greek here, the meaning really is endurance. Let's run with endurance. Sometimes it's easier to just run as fast as we can. You think, well, if I just run as fast as I can, I'm going to put it on super high drive and just go. I'll get somewhere faster than if I just take it one step at a time. But how many of us know that that does not always work, especially if you try it physically? I'm just going to run as fast as I can. Maybe I'll get there faster. Well, maybe, but you won't have any gas left. You know, sometimes we just want to get all the hard stuff over with. I'm just going to get this situation over with now. You know, and just do what it takes. But a lot of times we just get tired. Whereas the key is to run with endurance, to be able to endure and train ourselves to endure, you know, day after day, time after time, until God does that thing in our lives. You know, I'm reading this book on Queen Elizabeth II, you know, the current monarch in England. It's really interesting. Because, you know, you might think you have ideas of the glamour and the, right, the opulence of living as a queen, but you realize how many times she has to stand in a line for about 3 hours and shake 1,200 people's hand, right? And then she goes somewhere else, especially if she's on an overseas trip, then she'll go to another city and do the same thing, sometimes the next night. And those who know what she has to do, they're like, how do you stand for 3 hours that long and not sit down? And she said, you know, her reply was basically, well, I put one foot here and then I put the other foot, you know, give us space and stand like that. And then I just stand. And her reply was basically, I've learned to endure it. I've learned to just stand and recognize it'll be over in a while, you know, and just endure the hardship. And she does it with such grace and, you know, forbearance that you would never know, because she's so gracious in that. Because she's learned, you know, she's trained herself through a lifetime of doing that, that that's what needs to be done. She's learned that. And, you know, that's a good example of the endurance of a king or a queen, as they learn to endure. There's things we have to do and we have to endure in running our race, because there's things that have to be done in the kingdom of God if we're going to run our race. And to be a part of his kingdom, we have to be able to endure, because we are the ones holding the baton. We are the ones who are ambassadors of Christ for our generation. We're the ones who have to do what's right in God's sight so that we don't drop the baton. And of course, you know, we have to run this day by day. I wish that we could run intensely and get our race over in just a month of being a Christian, and then the rest of our life we can say, oh, I did that in my month of, you know, crazy endurance or crazy running. But it doesn't work that way. It's a lifelong race. And so we have to learn to endure. That each day we get closer and closer to the finish line, and so we remain faithful. And of course, Pastor Bailey used to say, we have to run the hardest at the end. And we know he did that in his life. He had to endure a lot of things. And so he ran very hard at the end. And so let's remember this great cloud of witnesses that's surrounding us. We don't see them with our eyes, but we know they're there. And it's not just Moses and Elijah and Elisha, but, you know, it's perhaps our parents and grandparents. I have some grandparents up there that followed the Lord, and I know they're up there. They're that great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on because, right, they've run their race, and now they're looking for us, the final generation, right, to take that baton and run with it and be faithful in that. And I know that Pastor Bailey's up there cheering us on, right? He established this fellowship. He led us and gave us a vision, and he's ensured that we're planted in the place we are. And in one sense, his inheritance is dependent on us being faithful. And so we want to be faithful to the end. And so in that light, let's take time. And, you know, this is something I think we need to do throughout all of our life, is take time to examine and say, Lord, are there any burdens I'm carrying? Is there anything that's slowing me down in my race? Something, either I'm holding on to it or it's holding on to me. And it's weighing me down. I can't carry this, you know, and run my race that I need to. And we can come to that. Lord, is there something there? What's slowing me down? What's holding me back from obeying you and fully doing your will? Would you reveal it? And sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we do know, and we just have to face it and say, Lord, would you come as the great physician and remove that and cut it away? And Lord, would you anoint me to run with endurance? Help me to face today and the things that I need to do today. You know, that's what the scripture says. Today, if we will hear his voice and not harden our hearts, right? Not run with weights carrying us down, but today if we'll hear his voice. And we'll cross the finish line. We'll complete. You know, we'll run. We're going to be that generation. We're not handing it off, but running with the baton, right, to the finish line and to the joy set before us. And so let's ask the Lord as we, you know, just as we close, let's ask the Lord to do that in our midst. Amen. Maybe we could close with a little chorus. And, you know, I would just encourage you to present yourself as we sing this song, present yourself and say, Lord, would you come and do something in our midst? Lord, would you come and meet with us? And just as Pastor Jason comes, if, you know, you do that as we're singing, but if there's something you need prayer for specifically, you know, that you need prayer, I need this to be cut away. There's a weight on me, you know, that it be lifted. The altar's open and we'll pray for you up here. Amen. And so Pastor Jason, you come. And if you need any prayer in that, come to the altar.